Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. It's not generally understood as an important battlefront in the war for the free world, but the popular culture is. And no locale, no institution, I guess, has more to say about the pop culture than what we call Hollywood. Consequently, it has been the subject of an important analysis by one of the best thinkers and writers and analysts of what is, I call, Sharia supremacism and what the Muslim Brotherhood calls its civilization jihad against the West, than our guest this hour. She is Deborah Weiss. She is an attorney by training. She's a policy analyst at Vigilance, Inc. She contributes regularly to Front Page magazine. She is, among other things, the author of The Organization of Islamic Cooperation's Jihad on Free Speech, one of the first publications of the Center for Security Policy's Civilization Jihad Reader Series. She is also the author of a new book. It is entitled Islamist Influence in Hollywood. And we're delighted to have her here with us to talk about some of the really important insights that are to be gleaned from her analysis of the role that, well, the Islamists, the Sharia supremacists, if you will, are exercising on Hollywood these days, and what that means for not only the pop culture, but for our society and perhaps the survival of our nation. Deborah Weiss, it's so good to have you with us. Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio.
Thank you for having me, Frank.
I should say Deborah is also a senior fellow of the Center for Security Policy, which we're very pleased to have as yet another important relationship with her. And Deborah, as a serious student of all of this, going back to your own experience as a survivor of 9/11, I wonder if you could just sort of give us your overview, appreciation of what is the Islamist influence in Hollywood these days?
Well, first, let me put this in a context, which is, as this book series is about, is the Civilization Jihad series. And I think most people know what Islamic terrorism is when people fly planes into buildings or start trying to behead people, then it's very clear. But there's a movement to accomplish the same goals, but to do it through nonviolent means. So they do things like lobby, legislate, they get involved in interfaith dialogue, they try to provide disinformation in schools, and they've now also been focusing on Hollywood. So the goal of all these movements is ultimately to reestablish an Islamic caliphate and to implement worldwide Sharia. And they're obviously much more patient than we are, so it's a long-term view. And the reason they've picked Hollywood is because Hollywood is part of broader culture. And people who have children know that media is so important that it actually affects children's development. If you study psychology, they'll tell you that what affects a child's development is their parents, their schools, their churches, and media. So today, that would include traditional media like TV and film, and also social media, Facebook, Twitter, and the like. So what I found when I was doing this research is that it's really an influence operations, a series of influence operations by different organizations to take control of the information battle space and to affect the attitudes, ideas, and beliefs that seep into popular culture for the ultimate purpose of altering policies and decisions and laws in the long term.
This is so important, and I appreciate you putting it into context, because unless you really understand what the Muslim Brotherhood and its fellow Sharia supremacists are up to in this kind of subversive approach to jihad, an insidious assault on our civil society and governing institutions, one won't understand at all what the implications are of your research on Hollywood. And I do want to introduce to, I'm sure not my audience for the first time, this document that we've also published in this Civilization Jihad series, the Muslim Brotherhood's explanatory memorandum. And Deborah Weiss, as you know, this is a secret plan for waging this kind of stealthy, subversive jihad inside the United States that was written back in 1991 by a top Muslim Brotherhood operative and has been, it seems, systematically implemented ever since. It was introduced, as you know, into evidence in the Holy Land Foundation trial. So to what extent does influencing the culture feature in that program as you have studied it?
You mean to what extent is Hollywood in that plan?
Well, the idea of influencing, among other institutions, the culture.
It's a big part of it. I mean, it is expressly laid out in there. I'm not sure if it said film. I'd have to go back and check. But I can tell you that many of the organizations waging this war in Hollywood are Muslim Brotherhood front groups. They're expressly listed in the back of that memorandum that you cited, Frank. And that's one of the clues that lets us know what their true agenda is. They do have a step-by-step plan. One of the things that they talk about is joining forces and creating coalitions with what they call progressive groups, and what I guess leftist groups call progressive groups, because they don't have the ability to achieve their goals on their own. So when they say, not when we say, but when they say that they want to destroy Western civilization from within using their hands and the hands of the believers, they're talking about the hands of infidels, meaning Christians, Jews, and others, and the hands of Muslims. So what they do is they get, whether it's wittingly or not, groups and individuals who are willing to ally with them for the purpose of disseminating this information.
It's so important to have that other piece in this mix, Deborah Weiss, and I'm really pleased that you mentioned it. The red-green axis is how we've come to describe it. The degree to which the jihadists, the Islamists, the Sharia supremacists, as you will, have been making common cause with the so-called progressives, also often the radical left, to take us down. And the curious thing, and we'll talk more about this when we return in a moment, is they may have very different ideas as to what the ultimate end state they strive for will be, but they're perfectly prepared to make common cause for the destruction of this country, and they're hard at it. And you can learn more about the ways in which they're doing this through Hollywood, the left and the Islamists, in Deborah Weiss's splendid book, Islamist Influence in Hollywood. We'll be right back with more with Deborah Weiss right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are engaged in a very important conversation with Deborah Weiss, a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy and author of several important books, including most recently, Islamist Influence in Hollywood. It is a very gripping account of what the Sharia supremacists, the Muslim Brotherhood, the folks who seek to impose on this country a set of values and governing institutions and laws that are completely incompatible with our Constitution, and who have found it possible to do so by using our very freedoms, notably our freedom of expression, our freedom of speech, our freedom of association, to insinuate themselves into the font of so much of our popular culture, namely Hollywood. Deborah Weiss, you were describing the problem in sort of the macro level in the previous segment. Let's talk a little bit about some of the particulars. There are several organizations that you've identified in your book, Islamist Influence in Hollywood, that I wanted you to describe a little bit more in depth with us, starting with the Council on American Islamic Relations, better known by its acronym, CARE. What role is CARE playing in influencing America via our pop culture and Hollywood?
Yes, Frank. I can talk about CARE, but if it's okay, I'd like to just add something to what you were saying about how the Islamists are taking advantage of our freedom of speech. It's also of our freedom of religion. So they're frequently crying that they're the victims. They're the victims of discrimination, Islamophobia, bigotry, and in America, we believe in religious freedom. So they carry that line in order to get sympathy for their cause. And I also want to add, if you don't mind me going slightly off topic from the question, in case the audience is not aware, I don't think any of us are trying to discriminate against people who want to practice whatever faith they have within the confines of constitutional bounds. But for those of you who don't know, Sharia really is not a religion in the sense that we understand it in the West, the way Judaism and Christianity are. It's a total system. It's really a political ideology with a religious component. And they have a legal system, a judiciary system, an economic system, an educational system. And in the Sharia-controlled territories, people who are not Muslim are required to adhere to Sharia law. So that is a huge difference and a large part of what this battle is. Nobody's trying to infringe on them. We're trying to keep ourselves free from infringement from Sharia.
This is such an important point. Yep. So talk about people who are actively trying to do that to us, starting with CARE.
CARE, which was an unindicted co-conspirator in that largest terror financing trial in the history of the United in the United States, which you mentioned, is listed. Well, their predecessor is listed in the back of the book, and they've over time become CARE. They have been the most successful organization in getting films censored by either protesting or threatening or strong-arming producers, sometimes convincing them, but a lot of times bullying them, basically. And a few specific examples, as there was a movie called The Sum of All Fears. It was based on a Tom Clancy book about Islamic terrorists. The CARE was able to get them to change the villain to neo-Nazis. I have not seen the film, but I've heard from people who have that it doesn't make any sense because it was about terrorists in Syria and now they were neo-Nazis instead of Islamic terrorists. Another film was True Lies with Arnold Schwarzenegger, which was also about Islamic terrorists. And while they weren't able to get any scenes taken away, they were able to get the producers to add a disclaimer at the end saying that the film doesn't represent the actions or beliefs of any particular religion. Kingdom of Heaven was another movie about the battle for the soul of Jerusalem. The result of a pre-screening from CARE, because it was the same producers that had had a lot of problems with CARE on prior films, they wound up inviting members of CARE to pre-screen the movie before it was released. CARE indeed had complaints, scenes were edited out, and the Christians were ultimately portrayed as murderers and the Muslims as morally superior. There are many, many examples. They're all listed in my book. There have been examples where scenes were cut out, scenes were altered, disclaimers were added. In the cases where CARE was unable to effectuate the change that they desired, sometimes they would have protests outside the movie theaters issuing pamphlets and leaflets about how terrible the producers are. And they have done similar things with TV, it's like TV shows like 24, that TV shows 24 started out one way and got more and more Islam sympathetic as time went on. They actually were able to get scenes extricated from that series. They've been very active in not just CARE, but all of these groups have focused a lot on independent films. So it's not just Hollywood, it's all of media.
And Debbie, it bears reminding people as they're listening to this litany that not only was CARE an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation trial, as one of our other books at the Center for Security Policy Press, CARE is Hamas, makes clear. The organization of the Council on American Islamic Relations was actually founded by representatives of a designated terrorist organization, namely Hamas. This is frightening stuff that such an entity with such proclivities is dictating what our people can see and can't see, even in the nature of entertainment. Let me ask you about one other group that you've also written about in your book, Islamist Influence in Hollywood, Deborah Weiss, and that is the Muslim Public Affairs Council, again, also better known by its acronym MPAC. What's that group about, and what influence are they exercising in the pop culture?
MPAC is also a Muslim Brotherhood front group listed in the 1991 explanatory memorandum, and they actually have a Hollywood bureau, Frank, which sits in California and offers, quote, consulting services which are designed to portray Islam in a more positive light. They have developed key relationships with players in the Hollywood entertainment industry, supposedly, quote, educating them on political, religious, and cultural issues which are of concern to Muslims to try to give them what they call context. Of course, the goal is to get all of the films to show Islam in a positive light and to make sure that they're never portrayed as anything but positive. They have an annual media awards dinner where they give recipients to actors and other people in the Hollywood entertainment industry awards for achieving the goals that they want. And some of the recipients, not surprisingly, have included Michael Moore and Alec Baldwin. If you remember, after President Trump issued his executive order to try to temporarily pause immigration so that the government agencies could come up with a better vetting system to keep out terrorists, Michael Moore was seen in front of Trump Tower holding a sign saying, "We are all Muslim." So there we have it.
Yeah. I did want to ask about one other group before we have to take another short break. The Islamic Scholarship Fund, what role are they playing that seems to be, by design, at least partially complementary to and reinforcing of what CARE and MPAC are doing in Hollywood?
The Islamic Scholarship Fund, one thing I found so interesting about them, Frank, was they really made no effort at all to conceal the influence that they are trying to wage on the public narrative regarding Islam. At least as of this discussion, unless they change their website subsequently, it's right there in the open. It states that their objective is to increase the number of Muslims in public policy jobs and professions such as filmmaking that shape public policy. They offer grants for people who want to create either so-called documentaries, or storylines with narratives that are positive on Islam. And while they are a newer organization, not listed in the 1991 explanatory memorandum, they clearly have the same, you know, or similar goals, and they partner with MPAC. MPAC has a Congressional Leadership Development Program, which places Muslims in congressional internships, and the Islamic Scholarship Fund works with them on that. So in order to get these grants, you have to fill out an application, and sometimes the requirements are that you have to show in some way that you're ideologically aligned.
And let me just emphasize something you said a moment ago, Deborah, because I think this is really critical to our understanding of what we're up against here. Terms like Muslim and Islam or Islamic are uniformly used in these groups, but what really is going on is a promotion of this Sharia program. And it's the distinction that you made earlier that I think is so critical here, is if it's really an anti-constitutional, totalitarian, political, military, legal doctrine they're trying to promote, and not simply promote, but insinuate into our country, that's a very different thing than just another, you know, religious practice, at least in the minds of most of us who understand there to be a sort of separation between the Judeo-Christian faith tradition and our governance. And this is really at the core of why this civilization jihadist agenda is so insidious, and why the work that you've done, along with other authors in our Civilization Jihad Reader series at the Center for Security Policy Press, is so appreciated, I think not just by us here at the Center, of course, Deborah Weiss, but by lots of readers around the country. And I want to thank you for this most recent book, Islamist Influence in Hollywood. When we come back, I want to ask you about yet another of the groups that is operating in Hollywood and the role it's playing there that appears to be, even in some respects, more worrying than some of the others, that being the Unity Production Foundation. We'll discuss that and more with Deborah Weiss, author of Islamist Influence in Hollywood. Straight ahead.
Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are halfway through a splendid and most informative conversation with Deborah Weiss, the author most recently of Islamist Influence in Hollywood. And we're discussing what that influence looks like and what it is actually accomplishing. It is extraordinary. And we've been describing, sort of at the macro level, the problem of a Sharia supremacist enterprise working assiduously, it seems, to change America through, among other techniques, our popular culture. We've been talking about some of the prominent actors in this influence operation space in Hollywood. And there's another group that appears to be problematic as well. And I wanted to get your thoughts on the Unity Production Foundation, Deborah Weiss. Tell us about this outfit, UPF. What role are they playing?
Yes, Frank. You know, when you first asked me to research Hollywood, I landed upon this organization, and I'm very glad that you allowed me to include it in the book. And in fact, there's large segments on it that technically they're not part of Hollywood because they produce so-called documentaries. But it was really astounding what I found with this organization, its affiliates, its programs, and its outreach. The Unity Productions Foundation, or UPF, is a nonprofit organization which claims to promote peace through media and to combat so-called bigotry. It produces what they're calling documentaries, which are often aired on PBS. I wound up researching these documentaries, and I'll tell you how that came about. They had a premiere showing in 2014 at the Warner Theater for a film called Enemy of the Reich, and it was purportedly about a Muslim woman who was saving Jews during the Holocaust, and she was motivated to do that by her Islamic faith. Now, even though in the film I don't think they expressly said she was Muslim, they had a whole panel beforehand, including the producers, that were saying this. So the film, which was largely consisted of a number of interviews, told her story. And afterwards, I hung out in the lobby and tried to overhear some of the comments and actually stopped some people to ask what they thought. And uniformly, the comments I got were, "That was so interesting, I didn't know that." And I had a different reaction, Frank.
Didn't know that, meaning that there were Muslims who were active in saving Jews from the Holocaust?
Correct. And I had a different reaction. My reaction was, "That's really strange. Why have I never heard of this before? I wonder if it's true." And I set aside 2 weeks full time to research the woman who was the subject of the film. And what I found...
And her name is Noor Inayat Khan, right?
Yes. And what I found was that the film was a mixture of fact and fiction, which is the classic definition of propaganda. There is no question that she was a courageous, heroic woman. She wasn't saving Jews by hiding them in the basement. She was a wireless operator who joined the Allied forces during the war. It was absolutely a dangerous job. She did a terrific job, and she was a woman of compassion and principle. But if you research her, there's just one tiny little problem, Frank. She wasn't Muslim, not in any understanding of the word. Her father was part of the Sufi order, which often has a more mystical, spiritual emphasis, but her father was part of the Christi order, a particular sect within Sufi, and he had blatantly, expressly denounced Islam and said he does not believe in Islam. He does not believe in any dogma. He taught his children to believe that Jews and Christians and everybody is equal and gave them values that are include a loving, egalitarian mindset. And even then, there is no indication whatsoever that she even adhered to that as a religion, but she did pick up the liberal values that were surrounded by her in her home, and it was those values, not the values of Islam, that caused her to be so compassionate on this. And in fact, I'm sure you know, but that her father would be considered a heretic, probably an apostate, and be executed in any Muslim country.
Debbie Weiss, let me ask you, when you recount this story, you make the point that there is some fact and there's some fiction and there's some very selective editing of her life story that's important to the substance of the point. It's presented as a documentary, though. Is that right? So it's propaganda masquerading as the truth, and neither in the film itself nor in the discussion that preceded it, evidently, were efforts made to indicate that, you know, certain liberties have been taken with the facts.
Quite the contrary. This organization is pumping out many of these. That's what they do. They produce quote-unquote documentaries. And in the book, I gave you one example now, but I found the same thing to be true for all of the documentaries that I researched, that they were a mixture of fact and fiction, that they conveniently selected what suited them, they left out what didn't suit them, and in some cases, they got things entirely wrong. PBS, and I'm not faulting them, because we are naive in this country. It does not appear that anyone fact-checked the information that was in the documentaries. The documentaries are very well produced from a film quality point of view. UPF is extremely well funded, and the PBS probably just said, oh, thank you. Thank you for this great documentary. This is news to us, and we'll air it.
Well, I can tell you from my own hard experience with PBS, in the making and effort to broadcast a film that won a competition, as a matter of fact, for the opportunity to be broadcast on PBS, called Islam versus Islamists. They were very, very hostile, or at least were at the time, and it sounds like they are now, to the full truth on what the jihadis are up to, and were rather sympathetic to this sort of effort to gloss over certain uncomfortable facts and present untruthfully even some of the really relevant information that again, the public needs to know. This is about making informed decisions about how we're going to deal with, among other things, threats within.
So I might add, Frank, the obvious, which is your experience with PBS, and if that's an experience across the board, this book is talking about films, but then you can see that it's happening in other media as well. And for the average American who is busy with their work and their family and doesn't have the time or the inclination to sit and research every fact set forth in a film or a documentary the way I have, this misinformation and propaganda seeps into their mindset and into the fabric of our culture, and absolutely will inevitably have an effect, is having an effect now, on what kinds of policies we have to address the threats that we face as a nation.
Indeed. Andrew Breitbart, who said policies are downstream from culture, and this is making your point. Deborah, before we have to take one more break, let me just ask you about another group that you've identified in your terrific book, Islamist Influence in Hollywood, Muslims on Screen and TV, known by its acronym, MOST.
Right. Well, MOST is affiliated with UPF. It is a separately incorporated organization, also based in Hollywood, claiming to combat stereotypes. And they actually provide a story bank of pre-written stories and quote-unquote expert consultations on anything that's Islam-related. So if you're a script writer or producer and you want to make a film, you don't even have to write your own story. You can just contact their what they're calling a resource center, and they have the stories all written for you. Obviously, the films that they have there are categorically positive on Islam, so it isn't really enough to say that most, you shouldn't have most Muslims be portrayed poorly or most Muslims portrayed as terrorists. They want nobody, all of these groups, that Muslims should be exempt. It's never a Muslim that's a terrorist. And UPF and most, I just want to say that the founders, which are two Muslim converts, are extremely well connected. One of them, Michael Wolff, was a producer previously, and the other one, Alex Cronemer, worked for the State Department and the U.S. Institute for Peace. Both of them have maintained incredible connections in both of those worlds, and I think that's part of how they have gotten funding from U.S. government agencies, which really makes me sick, to be honest with you, Frank, that our taxpayer dollars are funding this. And the rest of their funding they get from the Middle East and North Africa, and I have, for their particular film, some of the more specific sources of funding.
And indeed, Deborah Weiss, there have been reports of, I think it's Qatar and other Middle Eastern nations actually trying to move into the production business, I mean, taking over studios and the like. Is that at work here as well?
Well, to be honest with you, the Qatar, when I researched it, it really was, unless there's something I don't know, and I did research it pretty well, it was innocuous, and that they sold it. I can't remember what they bought now, but it was sports, and they purposely tried to stay off politics. So I would say on that particular one, no. But.
Interesting. Okay. Well, good. If we've dodged a bullet at all, that's a bit of good news. But what you've described here really is a pattern of organizational efforts, well-heeled, determined, and unfortunately, it appears, highly successful in shaping public perceptions of not just Muslims as a population, but even people who, within that tradition, are approaching our country with the most insidious and indeed existentially threatening of agendas. Fascinating and alarming stuff. You can check out Deborah Weiss's book, Islamist Influence in Hollywood, at the Center for Security Policy Press by going to securefreedom.org. Deborah, we have to take one last break. When we come back, I want to ask you about so-called connecting cultures and how that's at work in Hollywood and far beyond as well. We'll finish up our conversation with Deborah Weiss on that right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back for our fourth and final installment of this special hour-long conversation with the author of Islamist Influence in Hollywood, Deborah Weiss, Esquire. She is a senior fellow of the Center for Security Policy, a 9/11 survivor, an attorney by training, and a woman who has been mightily contributing to our understanding of phenomena like censorship and the Sharia supremacists' determination to silence those who oppose them, amongst others, our own organization and me personally. And it's interesting, Deborah, that you find that this same syndrome, this same agenda is at work in Hollywood, as you've been describing. I did want to ask you about another entity that ostensibly is not involved directly, at least, with Hollywood, and yet seems to have connections to several of the players that you've been mentioning, and that is a LLC by the name of Connecting Cultures. What do you know about this outfit, and what role is it playing?
Yes. Well, Connecting Cultures is, as you said, an LLC, which was formed by Alex Cronemer's wife, Luby Ismael. Alex Cronemer, if you remember, is one of the founders of the Unity Productions Foundation, and he's also on her staff, along with one other person who advises U.S. government agencies. She considers herself a training specialist in, quote, Islamic awareness and religious diversity, unquote, whatever that means. And unfortunately, it is a GSA-approved contractor, which means that it is approved to train U.S. government agencies. And indeed, that is exactly what it does. Boasts on her website of having trained, under the Obama administration, literally hundreds of U.S. attorneys. They've trained the Department of Justice, the State Department, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Transportation Security Agency. So, and then sometimes they use the UPF films for their training. And if you look at all of their work of what they're doing, they're trying under our constitutional concept of religious accommodation, basically to get preferential treatment for Muslims. For example, if Muslims are arrested, how you can do that in a way where you don't offend them or tread on their religion in some way. So they're there, according to them, to correct misperceptions of Islam, or what they're calling misperceptions, which I don't think really are misperceptions. They're basically programs on how not to cause offense to Muslims when you question them, when you arrest them. They have programs to advocate, in effect, censorship and preferential treatment under the guise of respect and religious accommodation.
You know, Debbie, what's so interesting about this is that, of course, none of us want to give gratuitous offense to anybody, and certainly nobody wants to do it to people simply because they are of a certain faith. But what's not understood, and I'm sure is ignored in these so-called training programs for U.S. government officials, is the fact that this whole business of not giving offense is at the core of Sharia supremacism. They are to be submitted to, not offended. No one is supposed to express themselves in ways that give offense. That's Sharia blasphemy, which is a capital offense. And you can go on, and it would seem to be a grave disservice to people in government to be being essentially indoctrinated in this idea that they must give preferential treatment, as you say. That's as a practical matter what this amounts to. And worse, that it is signaling a submissiveness that, in my professional experience, basically is an inducement to the jihadis to feel as though they must redouble their efforts, as the Quran says, to make the infidel feel subdued, which is a formula for violence, not simply more innocuous demands. So this is striking, and I'm afraid that this is not the only example of this kind of training.
Yeah, they do it in the military, where you hear stories about how people are told they have to wear gloves when handing the Quran to the people in jail so they don't get offended that an infidel held the Quran. It's really nutty. But since I want to talk about a couple of the programs, since I know we're short on time, just so you can see what these films are being used for. I mean, a normal production company is in the business of making films for ostensibly for entertainment purposes. But these films, UPF in particular, which, as I said, is affiliated with also Most, and then Alex Cronemer's wife has Connecting Cultures. UPF has many programs where they use their films, obviously, to try to sway opinion and provide their point of view and instill it into different target audiences. They have outreach to teachers where they show their films and provide lesson plans. Those are targeted toward high school and college. They have, quote, training programs for organizations where they go over their definitions of the words and what they're claiming are basic facts of Islam. They have an Understanding Muslim Diversity program, which is targeted toward government agencies, especially law enforcement. They have given now, we're not talking about Connecting Cultures anymore. I'm talking about UPF has given presentations to the Pentagon, to the National Counterterrorism Center, to the police department. You don't see 20th Century Fox doing that. You don't see Miramax doing that. UPS has a 20,000 dialogue program where they reach out to interfaith programs and schools, and the whole point is to foster a quote-unquote dialogue, obviously to sway people to their point of view, and anything that's other is bigotry, racism, and Islamophobia. And they also have a program now called Nadia, which has a film, which they're calling a documentary, Outreach for Children and Elementary Schools. And they are giving away this film for free conditionally. And the condition is that you use it to show it in an elementary school for children. And so they are targeting the children at a younger and younger age. All of these films are being used for other purposes to indoctrinate, to persuade, and to target. So I just want to mention, how do I know that all these organizations constitute influence operations rather than just having a different opinion? And some of the ways we can tell is by looking at a number of clues. One is by who are they? So we have the organizations we talked about before, CARE, MPAC, the organizations that we know have Muslim Brotherhood front groups, by who they are. Number two, by what other activities those organizations engage in. For example, CARE has extensive programs to, quote, combat what they're calling defamation of Islam. I wrote a book. I hope you don't mind me mentioning it. It was published by someone else, but it's on CARE, and they have extensive programs to silence and censor anything negative about Islam, not just in films, but in politics, in national security programs, in greeting cards, in media.
And again, this is not just a Muslim Brotherhood front group. This is a front group of its franchise in the Palestinian community, Hamas, a designated terrorist organization. It's shocking.
A lot of their leadership sits in jail, and then, you know, they just get more. They have, and it's not just one bad apple. They have so many ties to actual convicted terrorists who are sitting in jail. So we look at other programs they have and the purpose of their other programs, comments that they make. And then with UPF and most, you can see how they're using their films for another purpose. It's not entertainment. It's for the purpose of, quote, training. And then they have a particular focus on law enforcement. Now, why is that? And who do they affiliate with? They affiliate with most partners with the Bridge Initiative of Georgetown, which is Center for Muslim Christian Understanding, which is funded by Prince Al-Walid bin Talal of Saudi Arabia. It's not even a secret. And if you go over there, I mean, I can hardly even go over there anymore. It's a total indoctrination. The final point I want to mention is they can do whatever they want. But I want to emphasize to you and your audience, Frank, the extent that these groups are not just making their own films. They are trying to control what other people do.
Deborah Weiss, this is such an important contribution. I also want to salute you for, this is your most recent full-length book for us, Islamist Influence in Hollywood, but you've also just, of course, contributed an important chapter to our newest book, Ally No More, Erdogan's New Turkish Caliphate and the Rising Jihadist Threat to the West. You talk there about censorship in Turkey and the obliteration of Turkey's independent media. And another hugely important topic that also bears on the impact on culture and policy. Deborah Weiss, thank you for all of this great work, for your service as our senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy. Stay well, and thank you for your time today. Thanks to all of you for listening. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.